Well, good morning to you, and another Sunday, another small crowd, and there shouldn't be any reason for anyone to go to sleep during my sermon today. I know that you've had plenty of time to rest yesterday and today, so I don't expect to see anyone go to sleep, but by chance, if you do, the deacon's been instructed to put a little bit of snow down your back, so just be prepared for that if you fall asleep. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And our text today as we work our way through the book of 1 Peter will be chapter 2, verses 13 through chapter 3, verse 1. Our lesson today is titled, Bad Bosses, Godless Governments, and Mean Mates. Now, this lesson is a little bit tough today. It's not tough to understand. It's not tough to see what God is saying, but it is very difficult to apply this stuff today. And so before we actually get into the text itself, I want us to look at the two verses that precede our text, which is verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2. And listen to what Peter says to us here. He says, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so Peter comes to us and he reminds us who we are in chapter 2, verse 11. And that's important because he began his letter this way. If you'll recall back in chapter 1, verse 1, the second line there of verse 1, he says, to those who reside as aliens. And so Peter, he comes to us and says, remember, we're aliens. We're strangers in this world. And so the bottom line is, this world is not my home. My citizenship is in heaven, the Bible says. And so it's important for us to realize that we are aliens. We are strangers. And so in this world, Peter says we should look different. We should act different. We should live different. We should talk different. And so, and Peter says, you know, that basically God calls us to be different. And that's important for us to understand. And that does something for us in the world. What that does is when we live as aliens in this world, it will do several things. Number one, it will shut the mouths of those who criticize us or malign us. But secondly, it will certainly open up the hearts of those who don't obey the word so that they will be obedient to the word. And ultimately, it brings glory and honor and praise to God. And so today, as we talk about living different, we're going to talk about submission. And submission is one of those ways that we can live in the world and distinguish ourselves from the rest of the world. So Peter comes to us in chapter 2, verse 13, says, Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority. And then in verse 18, he says, Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, Peter says, In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands. And so Peter comes to us, and there's three areas that he specifically talks about that we need to submit, and we need to be submissive. And this is important. And so as we talk about submission today and being submissive, let's begin by talking about the principle of submission, the principle of submission. And this is important because what does the word submission or submit mean? It's a military word, and it literally means to rank under. And so if you're in the military, you understand the importance of authority and submission. So that's big in the military, but it should be also big in the lives of those who love and want to honor God by the way that they live. And so submission is this idea of ranking under another. And so God has built into the universe that he has created this principle of authority and submission. And we have to have this principle if we're going to have a functional world. Without this principle of authority and submission, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have anarchy. You're going to have confusion. And so it's important that we understand the principle of submission. It's a very important principle. And in fact, someone has said that you are never more like the devil than when you rebel against the authority of God. And that's true, because when you think about it, the reason that the devil is the devil is he rebelled against the authority of God. And because he rebelled against the authority of God, that made him the devil. And so those who would, you know, rebel against authority, they are imitating the devil himself. In fact, Saul of Tarsus, if you'll recall, was given very specific instructions from God. And he rebelled against the instructions of God, the authority of God. And God sent Samuel to him. And in 1 Samuel 15:23, listen to what God says to Samuel, or Samuel says to Saul. He says, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." And so we think of, you know, of a rebellious person or one who resists the authority of God. Listen to how he groups them here. With those who are involved in divination, those who are involved in iniquity and idolatry. And he goes on to say, "And because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." And so because Saul rejected the authority of God, God rejected him and said, "You're no longer king." And God chose another person. He chose David, someone that would be willing to submit and had a submissive heart. But it's also true that we're never more like Jesus than when we submit. In fact, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not think it robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." And so Jesus submitted to the authority of God. He came to this earth as a servant, and he served God, and he died on the cross for you and me. And so Jesus was submissive to God's will. He didn't say no to God's will, but he willfully chose to place himself under the authority of the Father and to submit to God. And God consequently exalted him to the very highest place. And so here's the idea, that when you submit to God's authority, you're never more like Jesus than when you are submissive to the authority of God. And by the way, if you ever expect to be placed over something, you first have to know what it means to be placed under something. And so until we understand this principle of authority and submission, God will never raise us up and put us over anything until we first know what it means to submit to authority. And so the principle of authority is an important principle. Now let's look at the places of submission this morning. The places of submission. Now, Peter could have picked out a lot of areas where we are to be submissive. He chooses three specific areas. Number one, he says we are to be submissive to government, to those who are in authority. He says in verse 13, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." And so the first area that Peter calls us to be submissive is in the area of government. And he calls all of us as believers in Jesus to be submissive to human governments, regardless of what that government might be. You might disagree with that government. You may not like that government. You might think it's wrong to submit to that government. God says submit to it. Why? Because bad government is better than no government. We need government. And without government, you have chaos and you have anarchy. In fact, let me ask you, who is Caesar while Peter writes this letter? And the answer is Nero. Nero is the one in charge. He is the king as Peter is writing this letter. Now, what do we know about Nero? Well, we know a lot about Nero. We know that the man married at 15, and he killed his first wife so he could marry his second wife, and he killed her so that he could have another wife, but in order to have the third wife, he had to kill the husband of the third wife. And then his mom irritated him, and so he had his mom killed. And then he was the first guy to give Christians a taste of persecution. He killed literally thousands of believers in Jesus Christ. And here Peter says that we're supposed to submit to those who are in positions of authority, whether king or governor or those who are law enforcement people. It doesn't matter. Wherever there is authority, we as believers are supposed to submit ourselves to that authority. It's not a matter if we like the government. It's a matter of submitting to that government because that's what is proper. Because God is the one who instituted government. Government is from God. It is not from man. God is the one behind all human authority. In fact, Paul talks about this in Romans 13. And Paul says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 13, he says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. And therefore, whoever resists the authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. And do you want to have fear, no fear of authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise of the same. For it is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is the minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. And so when we rebel against authority, whether it's the president of the United States, you don't have to like the president of the United States, but you have to accept his authority and his position. And the Bible says that we have to submit to him. Now, we may not like that, but that's the way that it is. We're not supposed to be looked upon as lawless people or troublemakers. And that's the way law and authority will view us if we rise up against the government and we don't submit. In fact, it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or you're Democrat. Look at verse 17. He says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And in this case, the king is Nero. And he says to people who are reading this letter, you honor the king. Now, I don't think very many of those believers liked the king. I don't think they liked what he stood for. But you have to understand that God is the one behind authority and submission. He's the one who put government in its place. And bad government is better than no government. And so as believers, we want to be seen as law-abiding people. And it's important that the people of the world see us as law-abiding and not as rebellious people. So that's the first area that he talks about. But then he talks about another area in verse 18. And here, instead of servants and masters, we're gonna make it employees and employers. And so verse 18, he says, employees, be submissive to your employers with all respect. Now, so the second area is that we have to respect our bosses, whoever they might be. Now, that might be a hard thing because some of us think, well, I have no problem, respecting my boss as long as he's a good person. Well, listen to what Peter says. He goes on to say, not only to those who are good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. Now, that's what makes it hard. How many of you have an unreasonable boss? Or how many of you have ever worked for an unreasonable boss? Someone who makes your life miserable. Someone who makes you just want to cry. Someone who makes you want to quit. If you've ever worked for that person, Peter is saying that we need to respect that person's position. Now, again, you may not like that person. You might not like the way they treat you or the way they treat other people. The bottom line is, he is in a position of authority, and as a Christian, I am to submit to that position of authority. Now, we may not like it, but that's the way it is, even to those who are unreasonable. So you may work for a two-legged devil, and that may be the reality, and you may despise this person, but the bottom line is, he is in a position of authority, and we are believers in Jesus Christ, and we're taught to respect authority. And so we have to serve that person just as if that boss was a reasonable man. And so it's important that we do this if we're going to bring honor and glory and praise to God. Because if we resist his authority and we look like we're a troublemaker, that's not going to look good for us. That's going to go against our testimony. That's going to go against our belief system. And people are going to begin to look at us as a people who don't honor and respect authority. And we don't want to have that type of what's the word I want to use? Reputation. Thank you. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. We don't want to have that kind of reputation. And there are some people that have that kind of reputation. In fact, the Bible says that we should work for our boss as though we were working for Jesus Christ himself. And in fact, that's what Paul says in Philippians. All that you do, do as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so when you go to work, you do your job as though you were doing it for Jesus, not for this man, but for the Lord. And if you will do that, then you will do a good job. And you will honor God. And by the way, it opens up doors for you. In fact, verse 19 says, "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, the person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." But there's a third area where God wants us to submit. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." And so the next area that he talks about is the home. And according to God, God has made the man to be the head of the home. Now, there are some people that don't like that. There are some people that say, you know, you just don't know my husband. It doesn't matter what your husband is like. He may be a mean mate, as we talked about a few moments ago. But nonetheless, because God has placed him in a position of authority, you are to respect that position. Think about it. If a house has no head, then that house cannot function. And if you think about a person that has two heads, we call that a freak, right? If a person has two heads, and if a person has no head, then he's dead, right? And so you have to have a head. And God has placed the man to be the head of the home. And God wants the woman to be submissive to her husband. Now, I realize that there are some husbands that make life miserable for their wives, and that's very unfortunate. But notice the reason for doing so. The reason for doing so is so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, which I believe to be the Bible, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wives. Now, when he says without a word there, he's not talking about the word of God. He's rather talking about her behavior, because no one is won without the word. We learned that two lessons ago. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God." So nobody becomes a Christian without the word. Everybody becomes a Christian by the word. However, Peter says here that if he's not obedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wife. So what's his point? His point is simply this. It's not what a woman says, but what a woman does. And so it's by her behavior that the disobedient husband can be won over. And so that's a tough deal. I realize that, because some husbands are very difficult to get along with. But nonetheless, these are the three areas that Peter says specifically that God wants us to be in submission. Now, quickly, let's look at the problem of submission. Because what if, for example, the government wants you to do something that is contrary to the laws of God? What if your boss, for example, wants you to lie about the product, or he wants you to manipulate the books or whatever it might be, but to do something that is dishonest? Or what if a man is asking his wife to do something that she doesn't want to do? For example, maybe he says, you know what, I think I'd like to get into this wife swapping stuff. Or maybe it might not be a bad thing if we get a little pot and smoke that. You know, so the husband's wanting the wife to do something that is against God, that is against the laws of man. So what do? We realize that in such situations, there's a higher authority. And that's the authority of God. And any time the authority of man comes into conflict with the authority of God always wins out. God's word always trumps man's word or man's laws. God's laws trumps man's laws every time. In fact, we see this quite frequently. When it comes to the government, for example, sometimes the government wants us to do things that are against the will of God. For example, the first century Christians, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And so we have this commission to go into the world and preach. But then in the first century, they were arrested and they were told, don't preach or teach in the name of Jesus anymore. And you remember what they did? They said, we cannot help but to preach and teach the things we've seen and heard. And Peter went on to say, we must obey God rather than man. So even though man was saying, don't preach, they heeded the word of God, and they went ahead and preached anyway, because God's laws always trump man's laws. Remember in Daniel's day, there was a law that was passed that no man could pray to God, his God, for 30 days. And Daniel continued to pray anyway. Now, was Daniel going against the law? Absolutely. Why? Because of God's law. Because God wanted him to pray, he was going to pray. And he prayed anyway, because that's what God wanted him to do. So what do you do if you have a boss that's wanting you to lie about the product in order to sell the product, or he's wanting you to juggle the books or do something that's dishonest? And that kind of thing happens, and it happens a lot. Well, in that particular circumstance, you realize that you can't do that, because it would be dishonest and it would be wrong for you to do that. It would go against the teachings of God to do something like that. We're not allowed to lie. We're not allowed to be untruthful. We're supposed to speak the truth. And so you simply tell your boss, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's against my God to do that. And so I am not going to do what you're asking me to do. And I think any boss would know in that situation that you're trying, that you want to do the right thing, and what he's asking you to do is wrong. And so in that particular instance, they're going to know that you're a good person, because you want to do what is right and you want to do what is pleasing. And again, maybe a husband, like I said, that says to his wife, you know, what do you think about the wife swapping or whatever it might be? And that's the time when a wife just tells her husband to take a hike and to jump in a lake, because I'm not going to do that. That's against my God. The Bible says one man, one woman for a lifetime. And that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it's going to be. And so there are times when you just have to go against what the government says and what your boss says and what your husband says. So there are those times when you have the right to do that. So hopefully that helps. But then lastly here, the praise of submission. The praise of submission. I want you to notice this. In verse 20, he says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated and you endure it with patience? Well, there's no credit. If you break the law and you are punished for it, then, you know, you're getting what is right. You're getting what comes to you. But he goes on, but if when you do what is right and you suffer for it and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. And so notice, when you submit, when you do the right thing, it finds favor with God. And I think that's important. Every time we do the right thing, every time we submit, and we're even punished because we submit, because we're doing the right thing, realize that in those moments, in those times, it pleases God. God finds favor with such a person. And so what you're doing is the right thing, even though you may be suffering for doing it. You're still doing what's right, and God finds favor with that. Look in verse 21 and 22 and following. He says, "For you have been called for this purpose. For since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." And so Peter says, when we suffer for doing the right thing, we are simply following the example that Jesus Christ had set before us, because he suffered for doing the right thing. For doing the right thing, he suffered. And so when we suffer for doing the right thing, we're simply following the one that we're supposed to follow. We're following the example of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, by the way, it finds favor with God. God was pleased with Jesus. And God raised Jesus up. And he raised him to the highest possible place and gave him a name that's above every name, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so the bottom line of all of this is simply this. What happens when we live the way that God calls us to live? What happens? Because ultimately, that's what it's really all about. I'll tell you what happens. Chapter 3, verse 15 is what happens. He says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." What happens when we live right? What happens when we submit to human government? What happens when we're obedient to a boss? What happens when a wife is submissive to her husband, even though he might be mistreating her? I'll tell you what happens. People will begin to knock on your door, and they want to know, what's different about you? Why you live the way that you live? They are going to be intrigued by your lifestyle, and that's going to be attractive to them, and it's going to give you an opportunity to tell people about your hope in Jesus Christ. That's what happens. That's what happens every time you see people living the way they're supposed to live. It's an attractive lifestyle. And when you see believers in Jesus living the way Jesus called them to live, it draws you. You want that. You want that. You desire that. And you know what I'm talking about. You know people who walk with Jesus and who have a good walk with the Lord, and they are godly. And you want that. And you desire that. That's what happens. And people in the world who aren't Christian can become Christians. And that will happen sometimes with a husband who's disobedient, who doesn't obey the word. By the behavior of the wife, this person is won over to know Jesus Christ. Sometimes that can happen with a two-legged devil that you work for, and sometimes that can happen with government authorities as they see us living law-abiding lives. And so today, I want to encourage you to be submissive to all forms of government. And today, if you know, you need a prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life. Maybe you're struggling with submission, because it's not an easy thing. Submission is a tough thing. It's a hard thing to do. It's natural for us to want to resist authority, to buck against it, because we don't want anybody telling us how to live. We want our own form of government, but it doesn't work. All you have to do is get into a car, get on the wrong side of the street, and start driving, and see how your self-government works for you. It won't work. It doesn't work. It only works when we do it God's way. And so maybe you're struggling with that. I encourage you today to deal with that and bring that to God if that's an issue. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want you to know Him. And we're going to offer this time for you to come and to make that decision if that's the decision you'd like to make today. So come as we stand together and sing.